To this day, I've never had a site banned, blacklisted, or got a manual penalty.
Still in Buffalo, also in the hotel, and Jeremy Mindel is coming out to meet with me. He's a self-proclaimed full-time digital marketer and analytics junkie. Looking forward to talking to him. We're going to talk about CRM targeting, handling SEO and SEM failures by turning them into wins, and a bunch more things. So I'm looking forward to talking with him at the, I think I'm in the Residence Inn in downtown Buffalo. Should be fun. Enjoy.
Jeremy, thanks for meeting me in the hotel.
Thanks for having me.
Well, not my place, but I wish I owned it.
Yeah, beautiful place you have here.
I don't know if I wish our hotel's a good business still, or they're coming back now.
Now they're coming back, which is funny. I actually grew up like a block away from here, and I used to sneak into their swimming pool here.
Oh, yeah?
So now it's nice because I don't have a room here.
Was it called the Residence Inn back then, or no?
No, it was the Holiday Inn, and it was pretty hurting of a hotel. Yeah. Like, I didn't upgrade it for like 20 years.
Looks nice now. They have this fire over here, which you can't see, but there's a fire. You can see it on that camera. There's a fire over there.
Pay big money for those things.
You think?
Probably. See, like my first question whenever I see something like that is, how expensive is the parts? Can I get it and can I put it in a business in a box and then go sell it somewhere? Uh-huh. Because that seems like what? It's probably steam that's coming up there, right?
It looks real, yeah, it looks steamy.
Because I'm betting it's just light and steam.
You don't think it's real gas? It's light.
Yeah.
It's just the effect.
Which is right.
I feel cheated.
It's the digital marketing equivalent of a fireplace.
It's like Bitcoin, but not real cash. I feel cheated. I'm going to ask for a refund. That is pretty cool. It's kid safe.
It's kid friendly. That's right.
Awesome. All right, cool. All right, so let's go through your history. So you would sell that if you wanted to.
I would sell that. I would sell anything if I wanted to. So how I started is, so when I graduated high school, I wasn't ready for college yet. And so I moved out to Vancouver. Awesome place. Had a great number of startup places. I snowboarded, smoked pot for 6 months, then realized that I had to kind of get on with the adult life portion of things.
Right.
I got hired by a tech startup, the Electric Mail Company, and they did the spam filtering for the government of Canada and RIM BlackBerry, and so it was great. And so my first job was writing spam rules. And I started seeing all these emails come in, you know, enlarge your penis, you know, stay harder longer, you know, everything you could possibly imagine. And, you know, after writing so many rules for this, I started having the question, like, why are people doing this?
Right.
Right? Like, what's the motive? Right. And then somebody was like, well, they're making money off it.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, so they're sending like half a million emails an hour and they're making money off these poorly worded emails, spelling mistakes. Like, it's awful.
Yeah.
And as soon as that connection was made for me, I was like, this is the business I have to be in. Because if these people are sending poorly worded emails and churning a profit, I think we could do a little bit better.
Right.
And then from there, I kind of just grew into it.
So that into search specifically or just digital marketing?
That was kind of my foray into digital marketing.
Okay.
And then, you know, I started playing around it. So I heard about Google AdSense, and this is like 12, 13 years ago, right? Everything was relatively new. People clicking on their own ads was like a very big thing, right? And so I started like a web proxy, you know, a Facebook proxy, you know, use it from school. You put your ads on there. Google didn't really like it too much, putting your ad on proxified pages, so on and so forth. And, you know, in playing around with it, I told one military person about it and they told everybody else. And before you knew it, the site was doing like $1,000 a day. And I'm like, what is this magic that's happening? So, and from there, it just kind of grew and grew and grew, and I wanted to kind of just take in everything that I possibly could about it.
That's it. You started, I guess, in 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I also did, and that was a wild time. It was fun. It was the wild, wild west, as they used to call it.
You could make your text invisible, you know, boom, shooting right up to the top, and it was so much fun. And in a way, it was kind of like illegal hacking, right? A way of kind of manipulating the system, gaming the system at first to your advantage. And the thing that really drew me to it is the fact that I could go out there as a kid sitting in his basement on his computer and compete against the guys that had huge marketing teams and win.
Right.
And that to me, that's one of the reasons I love the internet. It's just because it's the great equalizer. It's not who has the most money.
Right.
It's who's going to be clever.
Right. But it was a different time back then. I was telling Greg Finn, I told you I met with him earlier today, how I was outranking H&R Block for their name during tax season back in those days.
Yep. I outranked Delta for Delta International Flights. Outranked them on Bing. This is when Bing was not, Bing first started.
MSN search?
Yeah, right. It wasn't as great as it was now. And just, I remember seeing the cease and desist letters and getting those and being like, I win.
Right.
I win.
Yeah. It was a fun time and people really pushed the envelope. But things have normalized and matured a lot, no?
Have they? No, I mean, the same tricks are still being done.
But they're not working as well. Now you have to really hack. You have to be a hacker.
Not necessarily. It's like thinking out, like, so we just ran a test not too long ago, and what we call it is Google cache bombing. And what Google cache bombing is instead of, you know, when you connect to Google, you're routed to any number one of their servers.
Okay.
So instead of going by name, we go by IP address, using the same URL array and putting a cache colon and a site search in there. And what we found is if we do these servers one by one, site name, cache, site name, keyword,
right,
hitting it over and over again, different keywords after the domain, what we found is that we can get an instant pop on a new site.
For that keyword that you put in there.
For that keyword, because we're priming those servers. Is it trick? Will it last? No, of course not. It's not going to last. But these tricks...
Well, not after they watch this video, so...
Sorry. But right. But like these things don't last. They get plugged up, but it's... That, okay, that's more you would say like black hat, right? Or not long-term strategy,
no.
But it's still the fact of you get to play around and find a neat way, an unintended consequence to something that was built.
It sounds
to help
like
user.
A bug, a loophole. I mean,
exactly.
We used to see that a lot in the early days.
Absolutely. I mean, before Google put the CAPTCHA on too many search queries, you used to be able to change the time and avoid those CAPTCHAs, right?
Right.
Google blocked that now, but it's kind of like a cat and mouse game, and that's kind of that part of it I enjoy, the experimenting part, but I also enjoy like doing the, you know, the straight, everybody knows correlation's really big right now, or, you know, entity tagging or whatever it may be in order to do it. But at the end of the day, you're trying to game an algorithm. And Google doesn't tell us what it is. Google hates SEO. I mean, if you built the perfect search platform, anybody out there trying to manipulate it and say it's better is kind of an enemy. I know they embrace the SEO community somewhat, and, you know, I think, though, that it's constantly a game of cat and mouse.
Well, that's for sure. It's interesting. I haven't had a conversation like this probably like... I had interviewed one other person like this recently, but this is the type of conversation you would have at a SEO conference from like 10, 15 years ago. You don't hear people talking like this anymore.
No. See, I think a lot of people are still doing it. They're just not talking about it.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people, especially now because black hat or gray hat or white hat, you know, people have kind of defined these sort of things, but it's all, at the end of the day, it's trying to manipulate an algorithm for your desired results.
Right. I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting you to say any of this based on the topics you brought up.
Again, because this is the thing that people don't talk about on the front, everything's...
That's fine. No, I'm all for it. No joke, but... I mean, going through... So you haven't stopped pushing that button, that envelope at all.
I think that's my favorite part of it. It's just like it's an ever-evolving puzzle.
I mean, you've had clients with pretty big names, like yep. Bentley, Johnson & Johnson. I mean, they're on your LinkedIn profile. Hopefully it's okay for me to say that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But you didn't do those types of strategies for them. They didn't need it.
No, but there's always some level of combining like psychology and kind of a technical prowess, right? You know, we worked for the Cleveland Clinic. They had a huge problem with ad fraud. They brought in Dr. Fu, who I'm not sure if you know, was like the leading researcher in this.
Right.
Couldn't get to the bottom of this problem. And so we needed to figure something out. And it became kind of working on the other side of this, kind of how do you reduce that click fraud? How do you reduce the IVT? And it's this same problem, just different sides.
Right. Thinking outside the box, thinking about reverse engineering it a little bit.
Right.
So you could find how to, I understand that. It's just, again, it's somewhat refreshing and surprising. I'm not sure why I'm so surprised. Because
if everybody's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You're competing in the same pack, right? If everybody's doing correlation, if everybody's doing guest blog posts and, you know, PBNs or whatever it may be,
right.
Everybody's doing the same thing.
Right.
You need to be able to strike your way up in front of those people. And sometimes that's pushing the envelope. And to this day, I've never had a site banned, blacklisted, or got a manual penalty.
That's impressive. Usually, like, you see the stripes on some of the, like, the more famous black hats, like, and they have their stripes. They got penalized, and they're proud of it. Like, they pushed it, and they knew how far they could push it back then. And that was, you know, a black eye. And then they got that, and they rubbed it off, and they recuperated and went to try the next thing. So it's amazing that you never actually got penalized.
Yet. Never? Sorry, even, Google.
Never. Not even test sites.
Not even test sites. And we then that's one of the kind of the topics, you know, want to talk about
but
today.
Things stop working, like, right?
What's that?
Like these things sometimes
absolutely.
Stop working.
They absolutely stop working. And I've seen, you know, things tank just because obviously it's been plugged or there's been an algo change or whatever it may be, right? And, you know, Barracuda, I use a free Barracuda tool to kind of map Google changes and analytics to kind of see what's,
right.
you know, affecting what. But generally, you'd be surprised though, because with Google, sometimes things that are old become new again.